What's up? Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Thomas Drantz. He, of course, covers the team for The Athletic as well. We are broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. Big Friday show coming up today. Of course, we'll continue to dive in to the Four Nations preview, the big one tomorrow, Canada versus the U.S. We've got Darren Pang, TNT analyst at one. He was between the benches for Canada and Sweden working this tournament for TNT. We'll get his perspective, and our pal Dimitri will join us at 1:30. Excited to chat Four Nations with him. We'll also do a quick check-in on the Vancouver Giants with Nathan Canter at 12:30. So lots to get to, but Drantz, what's going on, man?
Not much, buddy. Not quite as much Four Nations face-off fun last night, huh?
No, I mean, it was physical, and I do think it sets up the Canada-U.S. game pretty well with the Tkachuk brothers getting united on a line and, you know, Brady calling, saying it's going to be the biggest game of his career and all that. It sets the stage nicely, I think, even if the game itself wasn't the same kind of super entertaining affair as Canada-Sweden.
Yeah, and that's even when it was close.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, before the Americans scored, what was it, like two goals by a combined 100 feet in the first minute of the third period? Even before that, the game was kind of just like a slow burn and such a departure from the pace of what we saw with Canada-Sweden. Will be fascinating to see, you know, if that sort of pace ramps back up on Saturday. You'd expect that it would, given the quality of those lineups.
All right, let's go. For more on this one, let's go right to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, February 14th, Valentine's Day. We'll start with the headline, and it really is, you know, we can talk about a little bit more about that game yesterday, but the headline is it's the main event tomorrow. And I don't want to discount Sweden, Finland. That's a huge game for those countries. And Kevin Lankinen's getting a chance to play in that one. That's a big deal. Big deal for the Finns to keep their tournament alive. But we all know what the main event is. It's Canada versus the United States Saturday night in Montreal. Guys on the teams are saying this is going to be one of their biggest games of their careers. They're hyped. We're hyped. Let's go. This is going to be awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of anthem takes.
So many anthem takes.
Not excited about that.
We don't need to talk about it.
Yeah. The Team USA, I mean, they were impressive last night. Oddly, they were more impressive in sort of coming back from the 1-0 lead that Finland was able to establish early than they were when they started really demolishing them. I thought the Americans got a few breaks there, certainly in the first part. A lot of those goals were of a very different variety than Canada's goals. And, you know, more than anything, from a Canucks perspective, openings up the door for Kevin Lankinen to get some run in this tournament. What an incredible sort of turn of events for a pending unrestricted free agent who went unsigned through September last year, you know, has played well enough that there's a sense around this Canucks team that he's carried them through large stretches of the season and now has the opportunity to stabilize, you know, Finland at this tournament. What would a big performance from Lankinen on Saturday mean here in terms of his leverage in extension talks, in terms of the interest around the league in, you know, bringing a veteran goalie with a sustainable run of average or better NHL results? Could you get to a point where actually the Canucks should consider dealing him because there's a team in need of goaltending offering a second plus or more? I don't know. I mean, if he's lights out here, it could get interesting here. So that's one thing that I'm going to be tracking on Saturday. Obviously, the Pedersen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just When was the last time you heard a fresh Pettersson take?
That's a great question.
You know, it's like, it was it Bruff at least came up with the yips.
But then you, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then you were like, Bruff's been talking to me about players having the yips for 10 years. So even that's not fresh. You spoiled that one for me.
Yeah. You're right. The Bruff loves to accuse people of having the yips, flat out.
My last fresh take was after the Colorado game. I was like, I'm done. I'm no longer holding out hope for him to turn it around this year. And then immediately after the Leafs game, I was like, but maybe he'll turn it around this year. So I can't even claim it.
And then after the Canada game, you're like,
never mind. It's over
anyway,
again.
And then, USA Canada. I think Canada's better, man.
All right.
Watching those two teams play the last two nights, and you know, I obviously take this with a grain of salt. I'm only looking at, you know, 60 minutes of play from each. But I thought the skill that Canada was able to play with, you know, granted they've got some blue line issues, not as significant as Quinn Hughes being absent from the American lineup. But honestly, that's what it felt like. Like, this is what it felt like to me. It felt like Canada has, you know, with McKinnon and McDavid and Reinhardt and
Crosby.
Marner and Crosby, yeah, and Makar. And honestly, Devon Taves honestly belongs in this conversation here too. You know, they have their best weapons. And I think it showed in terms of the quality with which they played. I know they ended up going to overtime, but Sweden's a far more imposing team than this version of Team Finland. And Sweden had really good goaltending. Like, Gustafsson was incredible, and UC Saros was brutal. I mean, that's the difference. The Americans without Quinn Hughes feel like they're missing a major weapon, to me, especially when you consider the speed with which Canada was able to move the puck and contrast it with what we saw from the United States last night. You know, some of the two-on-ones that they surrendered that Finland kind of wasted. The amount of heavy shifts that the Barkov line was able to generate, especially in the opening 40 minutes before I think things got pretty discouraging in that final frame. Now, you know, Binnington could go Saros if he starts tomorrow, right? There's no question.
Yep.
But in terms of what both teams generate and what they looked like through one game of this tournament, and again, grain of salt, it just feels like Canada has their most important players all firing at the sort of highest level of their games. And the United States is down maybe the most impactful skater that their national team could have had. And I think that showed if you're looking beyond like the results, like obviously if you're reading a lot into deflection goals and such, it's one thing, but I think Quinn Hughes being taken out of that American lineup is very much like McKinnon being taken out of Canada's.
Yeah.
And I think we'd be a lot less excited by what we saw if it wasn't like, oh my God, it's, you know, McDavid one wave and then McKinnon the next wave and then Braden Point the next wave. Like that level of what Canada's bringing, I didn't feel the same level of astonishment. You know, just like, whoa, this team, watching Team USA last night, despite what the scoreline suggested.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Do you agree?
Well, they had some really good shifts. Like, I think your point about Quinn Hughes is absolutely correct. And there were definitely moments out there with the Austin Matthews and Jack Hughes duo where it's like,
yeah, these two guys
are so skilled and they complement each other really well, right? With the speed game from Hughes. And like, you know, one of the hallmarks of this tournament is, as I said yesterday on the show, just the way these guys control the puck. And there were some shifts out there with those guys where it's like, oh, that puck's kind of bouncing in the neutral zone. And then it's just immediately in control, full speed going the other way. So they do have that high end. It's just not quite as high-end as Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, right? It's just not. You can't find another high-end that's as high-end as that. And then I also think you go down, you know, like JT Miller, Matt Boldy, Dylan Larkin on the third line, really good players, three really good players. I'm taking Braden Point over all of them all day, every day, right? Like Braden Point is phenomenal. He's still on Canada's third line. And that, to me, like that feels like kind of an ace in the hole for Canada, where it's not just we're coming at you with Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon and then Connor McDavid and Mitch Marner. Then you've got to deal with Braden Point, 50-goal scorer, incredible skater, all of these things in the NHL. So I see what you're saying. My concern is – how does the blue line hold up? And that's before we even get to Cale Makar's absence at Team Canada practice today. Now, John Cooper did say just an illness. They expect him to go tomorrow. Hopefully he's close to 100%.
They just wanted to let Thomas Harley.
They wanted to get him in the country, get him into Montreal from Boston.
100%.
They were taking tips from Vegas. They're like, let's just fudge this a little bit. Get Thomas Harley up here. But even with Makar in the lineup, so Sanheim comes
Mark
in.
Mark Stone was like, guys.
Yeah, guys, there's an easy way to do
guys,
this. We just fake an injury. We just fake an absence. And they're all like, oh, of course, of course. But even with Makar in the lineup, you bring Sanheim in. I had some concerns about Parayko last game. I had some concerns about Doughty last game. So that's kind of three question marks-ish for me on the Canadian blue line. Now, I will say, if the U.S., and we can get to the extracurricular stuff, if the U.S. is really intent and the Tkachuk brothers are really intent on, like, physicality, grinding, we're going to make this all about the toughness, well, then I don't mind Parayko and Sanheim in the lineup as much, right? Because they are well-suited to playing that style of game. I would prefer to have a little bit of a higher end for the skill side of things and the speed side of things on Canada's back end. That's probably my biggest question for Canada going into this one, is just how does that blue line hold up, and are Makar and Taves up to the task of carrying the mail, carrying the load? Because I think they're going to have to for the Canadian blue line in this one.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but this idea of a team caught between eras, right? The Mike Babcock style that Team Canada has played and this John Cooper style that, you know, I think they're going to find and sort of enunciate with more clarity, perhaps at the Olympics in 2026. And, that's one of the good things about this tournament, right? Iron the kinks out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Figure out, because you absolutely could have gone, you know, with something like a second and third pair composed of Harley and Morrissey and Uyghur and Bouchard and had a very different looking blue line where, you know, you're going to support, hey, we have the highest octane forward group. Let's support that by just outscoring teams. And these guys are still elite defensively. We're still going to be fine. We don't need to, you know, bring a guy like Parayko who, you know, takes some stuff off the table offensively, although he is still, and I believe this wholeheartedly, you know, a 99th percentile defensive player in the NHL, period. You know, we'll see. Like, we'll see if that's sort of something that we'll talk about more, something that'll dominate the conversation. But, you know, you see what Devon Taves did, his impact in that game against Sweden. And it's pretty clear that if you have a guy who can, you know, clean up in his own end, like play spotless hockey from a two-way perspective, but also really support the rush, really get involved in the offensive zone. I mean, you can see the level of control Canada's able to exert. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting factor to watch for tomorrow. But I just, honestly, having just through one game for each team, I just think Canada's the team to beat. The fact that these two teams went into the tournament with even odds, right? Like even futures odds. I just think that's wrong. As good as American goaltending is and as, you know, priced in as that edge should be, and it should be priced in.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what matters, in terms of generating chances, I just think Canada's got the highest gear at this tournament. And I don't actually think it's as close as I was worried it would be going into this tournament. And again, I wonder how much of that is one of the three most impactful American skaters isn't there, and all of Canada's most impactful skaters are.
It certainly hurts. It certainly does not help things for the Americans. And then, of course, you know, the other part of this, I will also say I'm going to be curious to see, and I know you've brought this up, maybe some of the early chemistry issues with the McDavid line and Marner and Reinhardt. If they get into gear, then all of a sudden it's a completely different story for Canada as well. So I'm going to be watching that.
And they will.
At some point they will, for sure. At some point they will.
No, they're too smart, all of them.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, though, is the extracurriculars, right? And, you know, the Tkachuk brothers throwing their weight around and going to the net and all that. Sam Bennett drawing in to the lineup as almost as like a just for this game to bring that element. And Snoop the Dog texts in, what are the odds on a fight in the Canada versus U.S. game? Who are the most likely to drop the mitts? And then he says, what are the odds of a line brawl for the super bet? I don't know. Like, it wouldn't shock me if there's a fight, if there's a scrap in this game, especially early with the emotion that's going to be in the building. People are going to be jacked up. They're bringing Sam Bennett in. Like, it's NHL rules. It's not against the rules. You're allowed to drop the gloves and fight. I'm kind of sneaky suspecting one at this point, or expecting one.
On the U.S. side, I don't know. Who would you expect to fight here? JT? Honestly, JT's got to be the team leader in actual fighting majors.
I would think so. Like, JT versus Bennett?
But how much does Sam Bennett actually fight?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like,
I don't think he fights all that much.
And there's like Nathan MacKinnon can chuck him, but I think he's too smart. He knows, like, no, I don't want to be in the box for 5+ minutes. So it's finding the dance partner on Canada. And you probably don't want it to be one of the defensemen either, right? So that's kind of the sticking point here, the fly in the ointment for me saying there's going to be a fight in this one. Because you know JT's down.
So Sam,
you know JT's down.
Sam Bennett's fought 4 times since last season. So since the 2023-24 season against Max Domi, Hampus Lindholm, Mario Ferraro, and Jake Neighbors. You know, JT Miller has already fought 3 times this season. Braden Chen, Kevin Ball, and Anthony Mantha. And then, of course, he also fought, you know, a couple times last year.
Yep.
I don't know. I honestly think Miller's 7 over the last 2 years make him probably the prime guy.
Yep.
Yeah, on either team.
I think he is the guy, and I think it's honestly like, I think it's just a question of if there's a dance partner on Canada.
Oh, you know who the dance partner on Canada is?
Who?
Jordan Binnington.
Does Connor Hellebuck throw
Let's go.
You're right, though. Goalie fight Saturday night. Team Canada, USA, best on best. Let's go.
Two things. If you're trying to win a game of jerk puck.
Yeah.
And the other team's bringing 2 Tkachuks to the fight. You've already lost. Okay. You're not drawing an extra penalty.
Mm-hmm.
You're not suckering them into anything. Like, those guys are flat out masters of the dark art of, you know, playing on the edge in a way that draws penalties against their opponents and helps their team. Pretty rare that I've seen Matthew Tkachuk not come out on the right side of that across his career. And like, dating back to him, you know, running Thatcher Demko in Penticton, like at the Young Stars tournament, right? Guy's always been like this. He's the best I've ever seen. He's just incredible. And Brady is, I think, not quite at that level at the game within a game, but I think the fact that he defers to his brother and in some ways is like bigger and more annoying, right? Is a dynamic I just don't think you want any part of. Like, you don't want this game to be decided in the alley if you're Canada, right? You want to let them try to impose that on the game while you know that you've got MacKinnon, Crosby, and McDavid on the same power play unit, right? I mean, now, as we often talk about, penalties beget more penalties, right? The players that draw the most penalties also tend to be on teams that take the most penalties because hockey officials manage the game. We all know this, right? There's an idea of sort of keeping it even. So, you know, on one hand, that makes the sort of advantage of if America starts running around and Canada's able to draw some penalties, like, yeah, that sounds good, but you're also going to spot the American power play some opportunities. I don't know, man. Watching those 2 5-on-4 units, like, if this game becomes a special teams game, I think that's a big edge for Canada. And that's where you'll be pretty happy to have Colton Parayko around.
Mm.
Right? So, for stationary defensive situations like that. So, I mean, I think that's a fascinating dynamic to touch on. You know how much emotion there's going to be. I'd imagine the anthems get booed. I'd imagine there's a certain feeling around that one. It's been long anticipated. These are rival teams. This Team USA has been hyped up as like the most skilled team, the team most likely to take down a Team Canada since the mid-90s. And I think that's completely fair, even though I think the absence of Quinn Hughes was felt more sorely in some ways than I expected. I don't know why I wouldn't have expected it to be felt very sorely.
It's honestly, as you said, it's like missing McKinnon for Canada. It's like, that's a huge deal. That's a huge deal.
Well, and that's, I mean, since before the season, talking so much about what an opportunity this was going to be to open people's eyes to what we see in Vancouver every night out of Quinn Hughes. And honestly, I think that's been my main takeaway through this tournament was the extent to which the elite guys stand out almost in a sharper way in this environment because of how good everyone else is, because there is no one you expect to like spend a shift in their defensive end at any point. Right? Like these are all such high-end drivers that when you get them all together and there's still seven or eight guys who are consistently driving, it's like, whoa, those guys are insane. And Hughes was going to be in that class. Like Hughes was going to stand out that much in this environment. And it's just such a shame we don't get to watch it as just, you know, people who love hockey. Not as big a shame if you're coming at this from a, you know, red and white bias lens, right?
Because I
honestly think through one game, it matters a lot.
We'll leave the last word on the fighting issue to this unsigned texter who says, biggest chance of a fight is Bennett versus Marchand in the dressing room, LOL. And they're not just teammates now. They're going to be on the same line, so they're going to have to patch things over. We'll whip through the rest of the whiteboard here. In the broadsheet, I just wanted to pass this along from Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts, who says, for the 2028 World Cup, of course, which was announced by the NHL earlier this week, he's heard that Western North American cities like Seattle, Vancouver, and Edmonton are interested in bidding, but there is the logistical question of if you want to hold some games in Europe, if you're doing the Western part of North America, that creates some extremely challenging travel for a condensed tournament. So interest from Vancouver, but at least for tournament one, it might be a tough thing to make work. I also got to point this out from 32 Thoughts. Apparently, they're keeping the anthem singer, I believe the Canadian anthem singer, Hush Hush, for Saturday. A big surprise, big mystery. We don't know who it's going to be. Now, Elliot, and this is, I like Elliot. This was a bizarre take where he was like, could they get Drake to do it? I was like, I can't think of a worse option than Drake to do it. That would be horrible. And also, if you're hyping up a mystery Canadian anthem singer for a big event in Montreal, there is only one possible correct answer because anything else will be a massive disappointment, and it's Celine Dion. It's like if you can't make a big deal about who the identity of it is going to be and then trot out someone who's not Celine Dion. So I would certainly expect it to
like
be
Buble.
Celine Dion. Well, you'd love that.
Yeah, I'm a great singer. Bad takes on Canucks news.
But anyways, I'm expecting it to be Celine Dion. And actually, the really galaxy brain take, this is the only thing I'm going to say about booing the anthems. If they really are that concerned about people booing the American anthem, get Celine to sing both. Because she's the only person who could go into Montreal and sing the American anthem and not get booed. If your number one priority is we don't want boos, she does both. And no one will boo her.
If your number one priority is make sure that, you know, the game isn't referenced for the wrong reasons on Truth Social.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion singing both anthems. So that's just, you heard it here first. You heard it here first. That's all I'm going to say.
I kind of love it.
It's the smart move.
You've got me on board.
It's the smart move.
Unless you're doing as a way to, you know, offer some sense of penance, right, to our brothers to the south. Getting Drake to do the Canadian national anthem and then Kendrick comes in to do the US one, right? So it's like, here, we'll give you a carrot because we've put the anthem so rigorously over the last 10 days.
Okay, some quick lineup notes. Sam Bennett in for Canada, Travis Konecny out. Cale Makar was sick, so not at practice, which means Thomas Harley is able to join the team, but he'll only be able to actually like practice with the team or play if Cale Makar can't go. John Cooper says he's confident that Makar will be able to play. Top six stays the same for Canada. Bottom six gets juggled a little bit. Braden Point moves over to the wing. He's playing with Anthony Cirelli and Brandon Hagel, so the Tampa Bay Lightning third line for Canada. Sam Bennett between Brad Marchand and Seth Jarvis on the fourth line. And Travis Sanheim comes in and plays with Shea Theodore, slides right in next to Drew Doughty. Also interesting, Cooper wouldn't name a starting goalie. Said he needed to talk to his goalies first, but like unless Binnington's like, I don't want to play, I would expect it to be Jordan Binnington in net. And as mentioned, Kevin Lankinen starts for Finland against Sweden tomorrow. Massive, massive opportunity for him. Quick update to the standings and the odds of winning this thing per Dom's model here. After the USA's blowout win, America up to a 47% chance to win. Canada at 39%. Sweden at 12%. Finland, 1% chance to win. So they're still alive. They're still alive, Finland.
Ouch.
I will say, though, if Canada loses in regulation tomorrow and Sweden beats Finland, then Canada would not control its destiny. So picking up at least a point or getting the win, really important to make sure that Canada advances at this tournament. Okay, that's the whiteboard for today. We'll take a break here. We'll have a quick chat with Giants play-by-play voice Nathan Canter on the other side here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.